Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established to Adjust Life. I am your host, Lee Vaughn. What's happening, family? The coach is coming on. He's going to come on to talk about fitness and well-being. We're approaching the new year, and this is something that we tend to do every year because, you know, a lot of people are gym faking. Come January 1st, they're talking cash trash about how much and how often they're going to hit the gym and so on and so forth. But come the third week in January, they bail out quickly. This is something that we need to be more focused on, in all honesty. You know, the world has changed. We've changed. Food has changed. The way that we are active or inactive has added to a lot of the problems, health concerns and whatnot that we have. We're not going to go through what we went through last week, so I would remind you all, if you call into the show and you want to speak, I need you to hit the number one, and that tells me that you are prepared to speak, you have comments you want to get in. If not, then we will continue to rant and rave. Now, Coach told me he's going to be a little late this morning. That's fine, so I'll do the stretch play until he shows up because I got a couple things I want to get off my damn chest. Number one, we are in trouble. Now, I don't say that lightly. I say that strongly because we have this situation in which we, as a nation, elected this joker. And look at the plays that he's making right now, and it's just not a good look. The play for Secretary of State, just take that for example. Is it going to be Petraeus? Is it going to be Mitt Romney? Is it going to be, you know, Lottie Dottie, anybody, what's the boy name, Giuliani, who's it going to be, this revolving wheel about whom is going to be in leadership in our country is just not good. I was wrong with the stock market. I will take that on the chin. It looks like the economy is so strong that no matter who won the election, the stock market is going to continue to climb. Now, I think that's a honeymoon period because Donald Trump did win the election. I think pretty soon, if he doesn't solidify something quickly, then it will tank. And I'm not talking, you know, huge drops, but there will be a huge hit in the stock market if he doesn't solidify something quickly. Now, he made a great choice in going after Mitch O'Donnell, wife for the Secretary of Transportation. I think that was a great choice. She's been in Washington for a while. She's definitely an insider. This is something he campaigned against, but sometimes you need insiders in order to win the game. So she's an insider. She can get things done. He wants to pass a huge infrastructure plan, which is necessary, you know, and hopefully because the Republicans control the House and Republicans control the Senate, that he can actually get this damn thing through. This is something, obviously, that Obama could not get through because certain folks didn't want him to win in that. Now, that, I think, is going to be a huge win for us in the short and the long. But some other things that I'm looking at, I'm definitely afraid. One of my friends this morning, she put no, I think it was yesterday. She posted that there's a disturbance in the force, and I was like, she wasn't talking about Trump, but I was thinking to myself, hell, that happened on November the 8th when we elected this damn joker, so there's been a disturbance for some time. But black and brown people are going to have it rough no matter what. Let's be honest. What I'm seeing is the selection that this dude are making, the selections that he's made or are making or talking about, so on and so forth, putting together a coalition to build a wall against losing. And the fact of the matter is the country is flipping. The country is flipping. The country is not as so much conservative. The country is not so much male. The country is not so much Anglo-Saxon. The country is now becoming more brown. The country is now becoming more liberal. Not totally, you know, because even liberals have conservative values, you know. Most people don't want to throw everything out the damn door or out the window, or depending on where you live, window. But at the same time, you know, they have more of a tolerance for not necessarily extremes, but things that are not considered a norm as of right now. So medical marijuana, same-sex marriage, same-sex adoption, voting rights, how about that? Affirmative action, just small things but large things, you know. And, again, putting Sessions in as the attorney general, that's not a good look. That's not a good look. The Department of Justice has been a huge win for America over the past 8 years, because America has not addressed a lot of the issues that its marginalized folks are going through, and that needs to be fixed. But, you know, whatever's whatever. The show must go on. Morning, sir. How are you?
Hello, hello, hello.
What's going on, fam?
All right. This is Coach. How you feeling?
I know who it is.
That,
hence I said good morning. Hence I said good morning, sir.
Oh, that's right. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio.
just finished with one of your clients, right? Okay.
Well,
how did that go?
I just finished working out with my group.
You're echoing.
I'm echoing. Okay. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you're just echoing. I don't know if you're on the blue. Okay.
Nope, I'm on my. Can you hear me?
Much better now.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Much better.
I had my earbuds in. All right, let's try it again. Good morning, ladies and germs. Yeah. You heard me twice because the first time wasn't so nice. All right, here we go.
There you go.
So I just
poet and you didn't even know it. Oh!
Right. I just finished with my workout group today. We had a great workout. And, so I had a couple people straggling along a little bit. But, you know, one person's running late, so they have to wait until I'm finished with this. I think it's very important. Plus, they can tune in while they're exercising as well. How about that?
There you go, right? So, okay, so let's hit it hard, let's hit it heavy. First off, you said you were working on your group this morning. What did your group look like? Is it more male, more female, younger folk, older folk, good mixture? Talk to me. What's going on with that?
Well, I heard your opening intro. I was in the cue room, so I heard everything. Just to backtrack a little bit, you're absolutely correct when it comes down to people. And, you know, say, hey, what they would like to do compared to what they gear their bodies up to. And one of the things is that once you set or you get your mind trained, then your body will follow. And a lot of times you're looking around, you went and got your membership, the ink is still not dried on the contract, and the gym is crowded. So after a few weeks, the gym is okay, it's thick, and then, like you said, by that third week or by February, everybody's getting ready to start going into our holiday frenzies of Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm.
Not everyone, but just totally forget what they wanted to do, you know, what their plan was, because they kind of see that New Year's resolution, and people are, unfortunately, creatures of habits to the wrong things at times. Okay, well, I'll go here and do this. I'll go to, in October, I'll get Halloween and give candy uncontrollably and eat some of that candy uncontrollably. Halloween is the biggest selling or serving of soda in the entire calendar year. Most people drink sodas in October. Absolutely.
I would think it would be the Super Bowl, honestly.
Well, you got to think, the Super Bowl has a different element to
beer,
it.
Okay.
Now, most people that watch the Super Bowl, it starts at, 6:18, 6:19, and then they're watching the game. But most of the time, when you think about a Super Bowl party, you're thinking about adults or older, you know, just adults. So they're not going to sit around and, not saying drink soda, maybe if you put 10 people in the room and there's 8 drinkers, then guess what? The beer is going down, right?
You see, my issue, you tickle
your fancy. Mm-hmm. So November pops around, and the next thing you know, you have Thanksgiving, and people gear up to that, and then they go in, you know, say, well, I'm with family. You're supposed to eat like this. You're supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. And then December come around, it's the same effect. People are worried. They're overspending. Then they're not preparing their meals. They're standing in crazy lines, not as much as the past, because we have the advent of, you know, HSN and Amazon, and people do a lot of home shopping. But for the most part, when people go into these parties, you got to think about it, holiday parties, office parties, they're traveling out of state without taking that fiber packet with them, and then figuring out why did they gain this weight and why they're not using the bathroom and all this other stuff, which, you know, we can go on and on. As far as my group is concerned, during this time of year, I generally combine my group into one. Now, throughout the year, I'll have a 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock intermediate group, which consists of anybody that wants to, like you said, hit it hard and, you know, hit it often. And at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock is my beginners / intermediate, where persons of all ages typically come to that, and, you know, I kind of coax them and persuade them and, you know, invite them, welcome them to the world of lifestyle change. So not so much as the personal training aspect, but the lifestyle change. Today, I had a couple of persons, it was all female today. There was about 6 people, and there was 2 60-somethings in the class today. And one person that turns 24 tomorrow, and a couple people that was in there. Actually, I'm sorry, I had a person in their 50s, 2 people in their 60s, and then a couple people in their early 30s, and that one 24-year-old tomorrow. So, yeah, so that was my class.
Hold on, typically, I would have younger.
Claire.
You said all women, right?
Say it again.
You said it was all women today, correct?
Now all women today. Yeah, absolutely. All
right. We're going to go back to that. All right, continue on. We're going to go back to that, though.
Okay, cool. So to finish up that, you know, they came in and did their thing. And then, of course, I told you I have one person that's 20 that's coming up till around 12 o'clock. But all women. Around 70% of fitness for persons that reach out to personal trainers and such are female.
Why do you think that?
Well, I think that us guys, and I throw us in there because I'm a man's man, that's right,
that we tend to think that we can do
That's right. We tend to think that we can do things on our own. We tend to think, you know, when women, you know, and this is my opinion, and anybody wants to call in and definitely talk about it, but women tend to, you know, reach out from that, you know, their younger ages, they've been more of, you know, trained to say, hey, look, if something hurts, go to the doctor. If something doesn't feel right, reach out and talk to somebody. If you want to talk about an issue, don't have any issues. You know, that sisterhood is something that the brothers could, you know, see, but it's not a lot of times that we can fully understand unless you're a sister. Now, a lot of, you know, a woman would say, oh, you know what? This hangnail's been here for 2 days. I'm going to the doctor. Well, I sneeze twice. I'm going to the doctor. Otherwise, with a guy, nope, I'm going to handle it. I'm good. Not communicating. Not describing it. Thinking that they could do it on their own. And some men can do it on their own. But from my experiences, and that's a lot of experience, that I've seen that, you know, a lot of times guys, you know, I've had women reach out to me and say, hey, my husband and I are going to come work out with you. How much do you charge, you know, to train couples? And we'll go through the consultation and everything will be great. And the next thing you know, the woman will say, okay, well, my husband's not coming, but I'm still coming. I kid you not. It happens far too often. So I think that the men typically think that they could do it on their own, or they don't want to spend the money, or they think that they're okay for what they are. Like, literally, they think they're okay, where I think that, all of us at times want to improve, but I've just seen on the female side of things that they tend to want to improve while a guy will kind of stay, you know, steady and just hold their pace.
Do you think that, you know, the testosterone kicks in, is like, you know, what can this dude tell me that I don't already know? And, or, you know, we don't really want to hear what we need to change as far as our eating habits. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a fat kid that loves cake. See, that's my problem right there. I love cake too much. Me and cake got this special relationship that is unbreakable, and I'm not really trying to break it. So I understand that because of that relationship, I'm going to always be at a position of being challenged. Now, I'm not a super fat dude, thank goodness. I don't have the super big belly and all that type jazz, again, thank goodness. But I do recognize and realize that I could lose some of my gristle, you know what I'm saying? Because the gut is one of those things. I'm like, man, I really want to lose this joker, but I understand that I really don't want to lose it, because if I did, then I would have got my ass up, gotten with you, and really worked it out by now. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those catch-22s as to understanding how to package the message to where it comes through, and it's more of a health thing, I think, than maybe perceived as a challenging of either my manliness, if you will, or just my handle on my own life. You know what I mean? And I appreciate what you said about women and sisters. I agree with that. I think they are much better at reaching out and saying, yo, look, I'm trying to do this, and, you know, freak that, I want some help in doing it, and I don't want to do it by myself, or I can't do it by myself. Whereas, though, a lot of dudes are like, I can do this whenever I feel like it. I just don't feel like it right now. I'm good with that. You know what I'm saying? And then I think there's the external portion of it. And sisters, you are more than welcome to call in and comment. 818-691-7348. 818-691-7348. Where the external pressures of womanhood is, You know, because women are rough on one another, Jack. I mean, they are. Ooh, I said, oh, man, if looks could kill, most of the women I know would be assassins, dog. Cause they are rough on one another. They straight up rough on one another. Like, good God, she just left. You know what I'm saying? Y'all were talking and having a good time, and the sister got up and went around the corner. I can't stand that bitch. Like, what the hell? What is that all about?
Right.
It's confusing.
Right.
It's confusing.
You know what, Lee? Mm-hmm. But that's what I was saying to you, that what happens is that a lot of times a guy, like, you know, people are self-conscious of themselves. They are. And like you said, so if a person goes out, they're going to want to look their best. Now, typically, that female is going to look great. Whether, you know, I get questions posed to me about waist trainers. Should I wear them? Or should I wear this? And what do you think about this diet? Or what do you think about that diet? Where guys is like, I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to do what I want. And you just got to accept what it is. And I think that that's just in our society's makeup at this time, where the woman tends to, at least physically, continue to improve themselves, and they have a full flexion, they have a full gamut of what they could do, whether they're putting on baddie eyebrows, or they're you know, doing something with their hair, or they're dyeing it, or doing this. But, you know, a guy tried to dye his hair. It's a double standard.
My
beard has a little bit of
salt and pepper.
Salt pepper.
Now, if I'm going to try to put some just for men in, if I tried to do it, then someone's going to pull me to the carpet and say, "What are you doing? Why are you trying to look young? Da 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 da." But a female can easily, they're not going to say, "Oh, girl, where you get that color from?" Easy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a guy will come to me and say, "Yo, I see your hair, little dog. What's that, Beijing?" You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Like, no. You know, but what I think, and we've all been to the doctor, and a lot of times, you know, what discourages, at least in my experiences, again, what discourages us men from going to the doctor is change. Someone's telling you that you have to change, and we don't exactly want to hear that. If our significant other or someone that cares for us in our life says, "Hey, you need to do this," whether it's this, and this, clean your room. I mean, it starts early. Clean your room, wash the dishes, da-da-da-da-da. I don't want to wash the dishes. I just want to be me. Or I don't want to clean my room. I want to be me. And these habits tend to go into adulthood. And once they go into adulthood, then you're like, oh, wow. You know, men have the pick of the litter. Not trying to call anybody, you know, with dumb talk, call anybody, but you got to figure the letter. And you're like, hey, I can do this, and I'm going to find somebody that's going to be okay with my gut. They may not like it, but they're going to deal with the rest of me or my poor habits. You know, but you know, a lot of times, a lot of people are nurturers. But getting back to that doctor's office again, when you go into a doctor's office and the doctor tells you, hey, you need to stop eating this because your blood pressure is 150 over 110 or 140 over this. Now, crazily, well, oddly enough, that you can say it's a coup with the Drug Administration or what have you, but typically the rule of thumb was you had good pressure if it was 120 over 80. Now, they have lowered it down to 110. And some doctors believe that you want your blood pressure between 110, I mean around 110, you know, between that top number and that bottom number. Now, when someone tells you, hey, I'm going to put you on this pill, that pill, you got to do this, you got to stop eating this, and it's so much so soon that sometimes people need a little piecemeal. They need to get pieced out the bad news, or pieced out the life change. And I don't know if Lee spoke about it, but I'm the health and wellness teacher at Belmont Elementary and at Liberty Elementary in Baltimore. And what happens is that even when I talk to the kids now, you know, one of the hardest things that they have issues with is change. Now, as children, those children eventually become adults, by the time, you know, a person reinforces these bad habits, it's rough. And I'll say this and let you say your next piece. You know, I teach my kids these things, and they're like, oh, my goodness, they never knew. And I always want them to have dialogue with their families so that they can make changes at home. So I had this one kid, Milton, come up to me yesterday while we were at recess. And Milton says, hey, coach, look what I'm drinking. Well, he had some purple stuff inside of a bottle of Diet Pepsi, like a 24-ounce bottle of Diet Pepsi. And I said, he's a coach. It's not
he was drinking
that. I'm not drinking Diet Pepsi. Well, you know you got a check. Well, let me see what you got in here. Coach, you take it off. Listen, boy, I did it for your own back. No. No. But the fact is that he said, man, you know what? He said, no, coach, it's healthy for me. It's good for me. I said, well, what is it? He said, it's great. He said, it's grape soda. Because he was thinking that because it was grape, and we talked about grape, that grape soda was better than regular soda. Right. And I said, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Milton. And he walked away as a matter-of-factly as possible. During my class today, I asked, you know, because I was talking about my kids like I often do, and I said to, you know, I told the kids, I said, hey, what, you know, when you open up Oohs and Noodles, you know, I asked them, I said, who taught you how to cook? And a lot of times that's where our issues come from as well, Lee. You know, I'll ask you this quickly. Who taught you how to cook?
Actually, my mother taught me how to cook.
Okay. So mom taught you how to cook. What's one of the first things she taught you how to cook?
Actually, it was pancakes, and then the next thing was fried chicken.
See, shorty, mama wasn't playing with you. She was setting you up for adulthood because that's huge.
Absolutely.
Huge. You know, but a lot of times these kids now, I asked my class of 19 kids, what was the first thing that they were taught how to cook? And 10 of them said, noodles, coach, noodles. So you know what noodles they're talking about. I think Q-Tip
yeah.
said it best in his newest song, the ramen noodles, right? So,
yeah.
You know, I said, how do you prepare it? They said, oh, we put it in a pot. I said, okay, how do you prepare it? They said, oh, well, we take some water, we boil it, and we just throw it in there. I said, you got to break it up, right? They was like, yeah. So I said, how do you know it's ready? They said, oh, when we see that little circle on the top of the water. I said, what's that? And I even asked my class, and two people in my class, now we're talking about those 60-year-olds, that 50-year-old, the 24 tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Two other people said, oh, that's sodium.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wait a minute. I said, no, it's not. It's not sodium. It's the wax. They said, what?
I thought it was starch.
I told them, I said, when you make Oohs and Noodles and that little circle starts spinning at the top, I know I see some people now, they might be making Oohs and Noodles while listening to this. They're like, oh, shoot, that's wax. Because that's what holds together the noodles. When you take it out, that big brick, come on now, y'all, you take that brick out, yeah, you break it, and when you put in that water, the wax comes right off of it and it goes to the top. Sorry, but that's wax.
I thought it was starch, but, hey, I learned something new. That's what's up.
But you know what's funny? That one of the persons this morning also said starch. Wax.
Mm. Now,
does starch hold it together?
I thought it did.
Do you think
starch holds
it together,
so.
The noodles?
I thought so.
Okay.
Is that the starch
that you spray your shirts with? What are you talking about?
Like cornstarch. Cornstarch.
Like, dude, look it up. It's bad.
Hey, I learned something new. I trust you.
I'm saying that. I'm not saying it doesn't have it in it, but check it out. Take a look at the, if you can get past the ingredients with the mono, the monosaccharides, as my old professors would say, monosaccharides and poly this and all the 18 to 22 letter words that you're not worried about because you're trying to crack it open and eat it. We're not worried about that stuff. Like you said, food is different these days. They're going to put stuff in it to make it preserve longer.
I know you got to go, so I want to hit a couple key points with you if you don't mind. And I'm not rushing you because I know we got at least another 20 minutes or half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk to you about core loss. I know this is huge for most people. Most people want to lose the spare tire. How do they go about losing the spare tire? How do you really address that?
Well, I've had people call it hog maws. I've had people call it their uncles. People call it different things. So the spare tire is one of the hardest things to lose. And what I tell my clients is that, you know, your diet, I mean, you know, the way to exercise, you know, dieting is 70% diet, 30% exercise. It really is. What you're putting into you is what's causing you to bloat in most cases. Now, some of us are taking medicines to, you know, that's going to make it hard for us to lose weight, but don't succumb to that notion of someone said this, and that's not always the case. You can always figure out and work out those areas. So 70% diet. Just really quickly, you know, I became vegan. I've been vegan for about...
You stole my thunder. That was my next point. I apologize.
I want to keep it on course. How about this? But the way to lose that spare tire, one, is to, you know, you got to control your eating. It amazes me when people say, oh, man, they said, you know, this time last week or this time, well, last Thursday, people were saying, guarantee you, oh, man, I'm getting full. No, dude, or do that, whoever you are, whatever you claim to be, you are full. If you claim that you are getting full, you're already full. And what I've learned or come to realize is that if you stop right then and there and allow yourself allow that food to digest instead of ram, eat, then, yeah, that's the major part for me. 70% diet or 70% of what you eat and 30% of exercise. Ways that you can start slowly to get those exercises to get it together. You got to remember that it's the abdomen wall, and you got to get to it, which means you have to burn calories. In order to burn calories, you have to at least move in a strenuous pace at least 10 to 15 minutes to start getting those sugars and the fat to start to exhaust that energy coming from your body. You know, it has to exhaust. Once you get that your heart rate up to a certain level, it's going to get those toxins and things out within the first 15 minutes, and then you can go into your exercises. If you want to do crunches, will help. It'll trim it. It'll maintain it, but it won't get to it. What you can also do is side bends. You can take the kettlebell. It's effective. You don't have to go out and get a heavy kettlebell. But if you get yourself a kettlebell, you can pretty much burn around 300 calories in about 15 minutes. It's effective. Yeah, absolutely. And just learn how to use it properly. The kettlebell we use for those side bends, so if you kind of, you know, put your feet together, if you can visualize that, and just raise it up on one side and use your body on, you know, foot on the other side to create like a pendulum and just kind of bring it up and bring it down like a pumping. And then, yes, that will definitely get that, the obliques. Planking is one of the things that I love to do. Since I have this device in my chest, this pacemaker, I can no longer do push-ups. Not because I can't do push-ups, but because the doctors told me to lead to my heart, that they don't want it to, you know, go into that motion. So what happens is that I could do planks. Planks is an effective way of getting that gut out of the way. You just have to learn how to lift your body weight. And that's something that I tell my clients all the time. You have to learn how to lift your own body weight for the rest of your life, whether that's tying a shoe, getting off the toilet, lying in bed, whatever else you do, getting out of a chair, you have to lift your body weight. So So if you lift less, you're going to become stronger and you won't put so much stress on your joints. Toe touches are very effective. The old school ones that you've learned is simply putting your feet together or even spreading them apart, but putting your feet together is more strenuous. And you just go, you have your feet together and you go, you know, your waist, raise your hands up to the sky, bring them back down to your waist, keep your legs straight. Don't lock your legs, but try to keep them as straight as possible. And you reach down for your toes. Now, don't be discouraged if you can't get there just yet, because after a while, those hamstrings will start to, you know, stretch, and you'll be able to get to them on the second, third, or fourth one with no problem. Every time you do it, it'll become more effective. That's, you have to learn how to train to get the muscles tighter under your belly fat or your spare tire. So I would probably, like I said, one, change the diet, two, get crunches and planks into your life, as well as those side bends, and I would invest in a kettlebell. Not saying go out to Dick's Sporting Goods or out to one of those places, but you could probably go to like a Marshall's or a TJ Maxx or a Walmart, and you could probably get a good size one for probably about $15-$20.
I found mine at Ross, and I think I got it for about $8.
Say Ross. Yep. I got a 15-pounder from Ross from $14.99. So,
all right, so
you walk past them all the time.
You said something that I wanted to talk about, so let's transition to that. So you transitioned to being a vegan. How has that helped you?
Oh, my God. I work, if persons are from Baltimore or know anything about a chicken spot, I ride past chicken spots all the time. The urges never stop. Chicken for lunch, chicken for dinner.
Chicken for my dinner.
Chicken, I'm a finger-licking whip. Oh, my God. Like, it's
salt, pepper, ketchup, and everything.
Right. A Pizza Hut. Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza Hut. McDonald's. But, you know, hey, look, it's a hard thing. In 2014, I became vegetarian. Vegetarianism wasn't as bad because you still were able to eat things with cheese. I love nachos. My God. Nachos, and you still will be able to eat dairy products. You will be able to eat eggs, you know, and have honey. You know, now, like, I got to go past Honey Nut Cheerios and, like, nope, can't eat you, but I'll eat regular Cheerios. It's different. So transitioning, I first became a pescatarian, then a vegetarian, then a vegan. So I just didn't jump to veganism because that's a lot of shock to the body. But veganism has been awesome because throughout vegetarianism and veganism, I've learned so much, you know, even beyond my studies and school and stuff, about food. And you read more. Now, the first few times that you go to a supermarket, it's going to take you a while because you're going to read stuff and say, oh, well, this has this, 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 and this in it. And if something puzzles you, and I know you have smart persons that follow your show, that you're going to inquire in this information age that we live in. I have a Google app. I'm going to press a button. I'm going to see what it looks like. Even down to the alcohol that I drink. And I'm out with buddies, and they're like, you know, hey, okay, we're going to drink this. And I'm saying, nope, I got to go to barnivore.com to see if my alcohol has animal in it, because a lot of it does. You know, some beers are finished, but when they make beer, they finish it with swim bladders from fish.
Really?
And, you know, and like, who would think that? You know, something's fishy here. Well, it could be your beer or your drink, you know? And that's real. Fish swim bladders because it's malleable, it's flexible. And a lot of times that they will put it in to finish it. So I know at the end of this year, which we don't have much left, that one of my favorite beers is Guinness. I haven't had a Guinness in over a year because they have swim bladders in it. Now, they said they would take it out, but I can't wait to drink a Guinness. But until then, I can't. You know, so the transition has been different. I go to different restaurants now, or if I do got to go to like a Wendy's, I'm getting like a baked potato or a side salad. Sometimes, you know, going through the transition, like a lot of transitions, it can become very frustrating because, you know, you say, hey, I'm vegan, and some people, I guess, won't say, hey, I don't know what that is, but tell me what it is. They'll go out and they'll say, you know, I have cheese on a salad, or I take a bite of something and it has, you know, something in it. I went to a Indian cuisine in Glen Burnie, forgot the name of the place last night, but the chef actually had to come out because the rest of the people didn't know what I was talking about. He told me exactly what I could eat. Like, I literally could eat six things off of their menu that had, you know, almost 100 entries. But it's one of those things. What goes in comes out. And you want to make sure that if you're going to make a change, I'm not asking anybody to become a vegan. I'm just asking you to invest more into what you eat. Know what you eat. Know the process of how you're getting that food to that table. Because for the most part, we're just appeased with the notion of the aforementioned smells and say, you know what, I'm hungry, I'm eating, I don't care, let's go. And it's one of those things that, you know, we've learned since younger. I know from this side of town, when my mom or my grandmother or father put something across that table, you had to eat it. You didn't answer any questions. You didn't, oh, well, where'd you get this from? Or, you know, a lot of the children currently or people now, what they do is they have options. Well, if you eat this, I'll take you to Chuck E. Cheese. If you don't sit your little down there and eat that food, you know, but that's the world that we live in. We have plenty of options, plenty of choices, and it's unfortunate to a fault.
I say to people all the time, especially with fish, when I go out to eat fish, the first question I ask is this fresh caught? I do not eat farm fish. I try my absolute best to never, ever, ever eat farm fish. And I cannot stand tilapia. You can say what you want to say. That is the grossest fish ever in the world to me. You know, that stuff is totally farmed. It's like a gazillion of them in a damn pool, and they're all swimming around together. Dude, I'm not eating that fake fish. No, not going to happen.
Tell us why you eat it.
Because of all the contaminants, they got to be sharing in that damn pool. There's no way in the world that all those fish are in a pool together and they are not, you know, one of them gets sick, all of them are sick. They got to be ingesting antibiotics in it to keep them healthy, just to keep them all together. Man, there's way too many fish in one pool for that to happen. No, that's not going to happen.
Let me add two quick things. The first thing is that when we get tilapia from other countries, sometimes, not all the time, but when we get tilapia, a lot of times it's in buckets. No one's washed it. No one's checked it, like you said, and they send it over. And when they send it over, it's not refrigerated properly. The fish, the farms that tilapia come from, not all farms, but some of the farms, the tilapia is fed from the cow dung. They push the cow dung into the water, and the tilapia eats the dung. That's what I thought you were going to say, but I'm listening.
Dung means shit. So let's keep that clear, because somebody's sitting back like, what the hell is dung? You know what I'm saying? But, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is.
I want to make sure I'm careful with my words, Lee. I don't want to say all farms do it.
We're on blog talk. We can say what the hell we want to say.
If we got to call it with a question. If it's Bob in Flower Mound, Texas, that doesn't do it, then I want to make sure that Bob in Flower Mound says, you know, if he's listening to Blog Talk Radio, like, we don't do that down here. And I'm like, okay. But I do know that it's a practice that's how they make sure that those tilapia eat. Tilapia is horrible.
Pause for a second, because you tried to slide your cowboys in this conversation, and we ain't going there right now. We got a caller that has a comment.
Okay.
I know what the hell you're trying to do.
It's okay.
374.
It's okay.
Hold on now. caller 3742, you have a question or comment. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, how are you,
yeah,
sir?
Mike, I'm in Pennsylvania. And
I said, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good morning to you, sir, Pennsylvania.
I can appreciate what you're saying because, you know, I just look in my lifetime, I'm 39, and, you know, the quality of food and the ingredients in the food have really, declined dramatically. I mean, you have so many processed foods loaded with high fructose corn syrup, canola oil, hydrogenated fats, although a little bit less so. I mean, then you have our food's contaminated with GMOs. I have seen, one of the more positive things I've seen is, at least in the area I'm in, some of the grocery stores carry more locally sourced food, and we have local farms, and there's even a place that I can go to get venison. But generally speaking, I mean, if you go to a grocery store, anything that you get in the middle aisles is probably processed and packaged. It's probably stripped of most of its nutrition.
You said something, sir, that really caught my attention. You said a lot of the grocery stores are going to locally sourced items. Now, I don't know.
Some.
Okay, but we're about to give somebody some credit that they may deserve, may not deserve, and they're not paying us any damn money, so it is what it is. But are you talking about Aldi? Because I know Aldi has definitely gone to a lot of non-GMO stuff, a lot of locally sourced products, things that are as natural as possible, and I applaud them for that. Now, you know, if you don't have an Aldi's in your area, you know, go kill yourself because it's like the greatest grocery store in the world on the cheap, for real. But their meats aren't the greatest, but a lot of other things you can get from them, and it's really, really cool. Are you talking about Aldi?
We don't have that, but we don't have it. But I'll tell you one thing I have noticed. Whole Foods is a bit of a scam because do they have some quality food? They do. But like, if you ever go to their food bar, and it doesn't matter if it's vegetarian or vegan or if it's, you know, if you're a carnivore like myself, a lot of times when you read the ingredients as to what's in the food, it's not nearly the quality that you would expect. Like, even like, you know, I like to eat chicken soup when, if I feel a cold coming on. It really works. And I remember last time I went to Whole Foods, I had a really bad cold coming on, and I just wanted to get some chicken soup. And I was reading the ingredients in it, and I do gluten-free. I try to really, and just in general, stay away from grains. And it has grains in it. It has canola oil in it. It has a bunch of, you know, I was just looking, it has soy in it. It has a bunch of different things in it that normally you don't find in chicken soup. At Whole Foods, I feel they get away with doing a lot of things they do just because of the reputation that they have. And also, if you look at their food bar, a lot of the food that they have has canola oil in it. And they were even fighting, I think, part of the, I believe, I could be mistaken, but I believe even they were initially part of a campaign to prevent food labeling of genetically modified organisms in food. So you really have to, like what
now,
you're saying, you really have to pay very close attention to what's in the food.
I got a question.
Yep.
I know I'm about to get my ass kicked by both of you all, but it's a real question. What's wrong with canola oil? You said it like two, three times.
Nice.
I'm thinking that, you know, canola is the way I wanted to go in the future if I ever used oil. But now listening to you, it's obvious to me that I haven't thought this through and I need to do some research. What's wrong with canola oil?
So just a number of people that I trust that know a lot about nutrition, Johnny Balvin, Charles Poliquin, who's like a top level strength coach. I believe they say that it's a processed oil. And if you're not a vegan, they like think, you know, they have a whole list of oils they like. If you are a vegan, they like things more like coconut oil or olive oil. But I think my understanding is I think canola oil is very much a processed oil. And I do know a number of vegans, and what they do, because they don't, you know, obviously they don't do fish oil, they'll incorporate coconut oil into their diet. My experience has been in dealing with vegans is that one of the things that vegans struggle with sometimes is getting adequate dietary fat in your diet. And I've come to believe the most important macronutrient to get enough of in your diet, it's not even protein. I believe it's fat. And canola oil has the medium, coconut oil has the medium chain triglycerides. It's antimicrobial. It's antiviral. It's, you know, indicated for a whole host of different things. So, but in terms of canola oil, my understanding is that it's very much a processed oil.
Yeah, right.
And
what happens is that, just to kind of add on to what he's saying, and he's absolutely correct. When we were growing up, we were kind of like, okay, well, we're going to get this Crisco oil, this vegetable oil. You know, what you can have just to fry it up. Crisco, baby. Crisco, put it on the stove. But, yeah, so you would, have vegetable oil. You would have, sunflower oil. You know, different oils were added. And then kind of like, at least in my experiences, you know, closer to like the 80s to the early 90s, and, you know, canola oil really became pretty prominent, at least in my experiences, became prominent. Where people would say, hey, you know, instead of using vegetable oil, you need to use canola oil because canola oil is better. And a lot of times it's a push from the FDA to say, hey, this is what we're going to sell and this is how we're going to do it. And the person that's calling in, like I said, just tremendous information because you're right. Then they say, okay, well, we're going to use olive oil. I know currently I use extra virgin olive oil. And sometimes people just don't want to pay the money. Chicken is not going to fry up. And extra virgin olive oil unless you use a whole lot of it. So, but it's one of those things where you're not using it for that purpose. I know you shouted out Aldi's, and Aldi's is pretty awesome. And I know that we also were speaking about Whole Foods. Well, you know that Whole Foods owns Aldi's, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So Aldi's have become better over the last few years because at one point they were stacked with sodium and it was cheaply made food. And then, you know, they started to implement some things, and Aldi's has become way better over the last few years. I believe that the caller spoke about the supermarket. When I first started to shop as a younger man into the supermarkets, I would bypass the produce aisle. Serious? I didn't stay there. I went right over to the dairy and the meats. I didn't waste my time in there. I would go right past it. But now, you know, I spend most of my time in that area. So 90% of the foods that are better for you are on the outskirts of the supermarket. And he was absolutely right. The inside of it was worse. You know, it's not so good for you because you had, what, chips, candy, canned food, things of that nature. What happens is that when people learn how to shop, they shop and to try to save a buck instead of taking that money and investing it into their lifestyle. Because at the end of the day, you know the money that you spend to eat, you need to spend it to invest early because you're going to pay that same or if not more money towards the end of your life because of the healthcare cost and all the corrections and things. You know, unfortunately, in this great country of America, you know, we are reactionary. We're reactive when it comes down to something. I think that kind of goes back to what we were saying with, you know, how men approach health and how women approach health. You know, other countries or women in particular, you know, they're proactive. They're going to the doctor. They're seeing what's going on, and they can kind of combat things, whereas we're reactionary. What someone told us they found, something that, you know, our pressure is this, or we did a CAT scan, we saw this. Instead of getting the checkups and eating the proper foods and the diet and the exercise that we need, then we get force-fed. Okay, you got to take these pills. You got to stop eating this way. You have to exercise. You have to diet. Instead of doing these things ahead of time.
Now, here's my thing.
I think
to stick on the grocery stores. To stick with the grocery stores. This is what confused me even at a very young age. Okay, so you walk into a grocery store and there's a health food section in the grocery store. Isn't all food supposed to be healthy? I mean, this struck me at a very young age. I'm like, well, how the hell is it only one aisle for the healthy food, but you got all these other aisles? What the hell is the rest of this shit? You know,
Lee,
to me, that struck me very early.
Lee, this is a true story. I live over near Catonsville, okay, and in Arbutus. So when I go to the Giant, which I frequent, the health food aisle, is they have several of them, and they're long. And full of healthy things, healthy options. I went to Cookout, I want to say Labor Day or something to that degree, and my buddy said, hey, Coach, I know you're still vegan. I was like, yes. I get to the party, there's nothing to eat for me to eat there. So I go to the Giant that's on Sinclair Lane. I go into the Giant on Sinclair Lane, go into the place. I walked around for 15, 20 minutes. I could not find the health food aisle. I finally run into a manager. The manager said, sir, you were absolutely correct. We don't have a health food aisle. They showed me two shelves that had health food. And he said that we either give away or we throw away more than what we sell. So it's more of a supply and demand, you know, it really is. So if you're going on the outskirts of the city, you're going to find the Asian markets. You're going to find some of the better markets that's there. You know, one of the better markets that are starting to come into Baltimore is Mom's. They have one that's at the Rotunda now. That's in the city, not the outskirts, but in the city. But that area is dictating to consumers, well, to the person, hey, we want this because this is what this area dictates for us now. So you're right. All food should be healthy, but it's not. All options are not healthy. They, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, I have kids coming to my school eating chips and candy, da-da-da. Do you think the persons that own these mom-and-pop stores, these stores, mostly Asian stores, do you think that they're going to say, well, you know what, you can't buy those chips because it's not 12 o'clock yet? No, they're going to sell the chips, and they're not going to give me another option.
Let's get back to it. So I'm trying to fry my turkey.
Yep.
What the hell oil should I use to fry my turkey? Now, don't be talking about me eating the turkey in general. Let's just focus on what oil I need. Let's focus on what I need you to focus on, not where you want to go with this conversation. Now, what oil I need to use to fry my damn turkey? That's not going to break my pocket.
Sir, you know what? I love it. You should be fine and turkey. Let's worry about that next Thanksgiving. You and I can have a side conversation, and you can relay that to your listeners. I know, right? No. We're not doing that right now.
I tell
you
what,
comment. You better not use extra virgin olive oil unless you got a whole barrel full of
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One of the things I've been noticing, and I'd mentioned, you know, some of the grocery stores, and we even had some stands from local farmers and such with, you know, where they have, like, produce, and they have meat, and they have eggs, and they have, you know, a much better quality of food, is, you know, one of the real positives that could be coming out of this anti-globalization movement here and elsewhere is, you know, a chance to break the absolute stranglehold that these big, you know, multinational corporations
mm-hmm.
have on everything. I mean, not just oil or steel or, you know, or whatever it is, but also on food. And for example, the death of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, for all this talk about fascism, the very embodiment of Mussolini's fascism, the corporate state, was the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And one of the things that would have done, which would have made it far worse than NAFTA, was that it would have made the big multinational corporations more powerful than and unaccountable to any sovereign nation state or government. And what we're seeing here and what we're seeing in Europe, one of the consequences, as it's going to relate to food, is that you're going to have we already have more of a demand for it, but you're going to have, you know, local farmers and perhaps local growers are going to have a better chance to get their foods out onto the market. And you're not going to, you know, perhaps we won't have such a stranglehold by these multinationals. But that's one of the things I've really been observing. And it's not just in parts of Pennsylvania and small towns and such, but I've noticed this in other states from talking to other people. And so my hope is that the strong anti-globalization, you know, more steel here, or we're going to, you know, be making more, you know, air conditioners here, but also we'll be making more of our food here instead of getting cheap crap from China loaded with contaminants, or instead of having, you know, Archer Daniels Midland and the big agribusiness farms, you know, mass producing their food, but making it with terrible ingredients and putting all the local farmers out of business. So, you know, I think that's one thing that I'm very hopeful about with this anti-globalization movement is that, you know, we have a chance to get better quality food made. And you know what? They say that a lot of this food and, you know, that the globalization means cheaper prices, but it means cheaper prices only as long as you have competition. Once you have monopolies, not only do you get lower quality food or lower quality products that you're buying, but you get higher prices as well too, and you're also making, you know, less money, and you're making lower wages.
Wow. But, you know, I've been to the Midwest, and Conagra owns the Midwest. If you've ever been to Nebraska, Iowa, Idaho, Conagra owns that. That's like Texas, but it should be Conagra. just stapled over all those states. They own that territory. It's sick how huge their manufacturing facilities are, their distribution centers are out there. I mean, huge facilities. So I totally get it, and I am very thankful that you called in this morning, sir, without a doubt. And I don't know how you found this, but we're very grateful that you did. And thank you so much for your time.
Yes, thank you for calling in.
Coach, I want to get back to you.
So much.
Coach, I want to get back to you because I know you got to go, so we got to do our thing with you. And I think a couple of things I want to hit you with. First off, you know, people are always talking about not having enough time to exercise. You said earlier that you got to get your heart rate up to a certain degree and all those sugars and whatnot to start to burn off. How much time do you really need to put into exercising a day?
Once you get – well, you know, I guess it really depends on if you're looking for a deficit. So if you're trying to – if you want to lose weight, then, yes, you're going to have to work a little bit harder at it because, unfortunately, you put a lot of time in to gain the weight, right?
Right.
So, yeah, so it's kind of like it's kind of a give-and-take thing here. So once you get your body maintenance to the point where, you know, you are getting to where you need to be, then, yes, you probably need maybe 7 minutes, 7 to 10 minutes. And 10 minutes will probably be, you know, you stretching, you doing your 7-minute workout, and then you do your cool down. But if you're trying to obtain weight loss, then you're going to have to work anywhere between 30 to 60 minutes. And it doesn't have to require everything to be strenuous. So some people don't, you know, they stay away from exercise because it hurts, okay? At least certain ones, especially that abdomen area. You know, your legs will recover, your arms will recover, but people, you know, one of the worst things that you don't ever want is a stomach ache. You know, you're like, okay, well, yeah, I stumped my toe. Your toe will stop. You'll feel better in a few moments. Okay, I hit my knee against this. Okay, I'll feel better in a few moments. I hit my funny bone on this. Okay, it's going to – but when you have a stomach ache and you're cramped, you know, it's gut-wrenching, literally using that term. So there you have it. You know, anywhere between 7 to 10 minutes, once you really get to where you are, but to get that deficit, you got to at least get a good 15 minutes in to get those toxins and stuff out. And then that next 10 to 15 minutes in to get your heart rate up into the 130s, 140s, 150s, 160s. You know, some people look at it as, okay, you know, some people do Zumba, which, you know, Zumba's pretty fun. And some people, okay, as long as you're doing something active. But if you're going to actually get to where you want to be, then yes, you have to become one with your body. You have to understand your body's needs as far as to be maintenance, to make sure that you don't put enough, or you don't put a lot of pressure on your structural, you know, your bones structure. When we have too much weight on us, it affects our posture, it affects our well-being, it makes our heart pump harder because it has to go through your body. So 7 to 10 minutes once you maintenance, or, you know, if you, let's say if you set up a time like this. Okay, let's say you work out, let's say you want to work out 4 to 5 times a week. Now, some people work out really hard, and then they take that day of rest, okay? If you're one of those persons that want to work out 4 to 5 times a week, I would say do your 30 to 60 minutes on whatever those days. So if it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever. And then those other days, use that 7 to 10 minute workout to, you know, maintenance the body, stretch, so forth and so on. But that's what I would suggest for you to do. But each situation is different. Some people, as we mentioned, go really hard. And if you go really hard at first, and you want to discourage yourself because you don't want to endure that pain again. Oh, my, this hurt. And oh, my, that hurt. But you're going to have to make that commitment no different than you will make a commitment to any other thing.
How quickly should one expect change? Because, you know, as you said, you go hard, so you hit it hard, you hit it hard, you hit it every day, and you're like, man, I'm gonna get this 10 pounds off. Week and a half. Not so much. How quickly should you be looking for change?
Well, put it this way. So generally, you know, there's different thumbs to it, but my experience is called for 2 pounds a week naturally. If you lose 2 pounds a week through your diet and exercise, you're making awesome strides. Those pounds will not come back if you continue with your mission. One of my things that I love to say is falling in love with the process. You got to fall in love with it. No different if you were in school and you have to write papers and do this for your professor and do these things. You know, you could either fight it and write papers late at night, you know, squeezing it in, or you can do it gradually and you won't have any problems. Now, typically, you'll start seeing results in 3 to about 4 weeks, okay? Maybe 2 weeks, depending on how much you know your body. Other people will start to see the results in about a month. They'll say, hey, what you doing? I see something different in you. So that could be anywhere between 4 to 6. So, you know, don't be too hard on yourself, but you have to gradually get to exercise and make it a way of your life. And once it becomes a lifestyle change, then yes. So I would definitely say that. And really quickly to add on to that, don't weigh yourself every 5 minutes. I have people that they'll weigh themselves. Oh, I'm supposed to lose weight. No, weigh yourself once a week. Weigh yourself early in the morning. Go ahead and allow yourself to get all the things that you normally come out of you when you're waking up, and then you weigh yourself once a week.
Now, that's the last thing I wanted to talk about, and I know it's like not the greatest way to end, but let's talk about it. So you said the things that normally come out of you. You said earlier, you know, you were talking about poop earlier as well, because you said blood goes in, comes out. You know, one of the things I think people fail to realize and recognize is if you eat 3 times, you should shit 3 times. I mean, it should come
Absolutely.
In and out. If it's not coming in and out, there's something wrong. There's something that's out of balance. How do we get that balance back into play?
Well, I also mentioned about, you know, when people tend to be on the go, right? And a lot of us in today's world are on the go, whether we are on the go through business or we're on the go because we just want to be a busybody. But a lot of us have things. Oh, well, this person has this, and I got to go to that. You know, we use our planners and our calendars and our reminders. We use a lot of these things more than what we have ever had. We have things like, ding, oh, no, here's something that I totally forgot, but I got to do it. And you double book, but it also affects the way we eat. You know, when I ask my kids, I'll say, hey, what did your family eat last night? And a lot of them say, oh, well, we was rushing because, you know, Judy had this, she had dance practice, and Bobby had basketball practice, and we stopped at McDonald's. Or we went to a fast casual place, Chipotle, Qdoba, Panera, right? Fast casual. So these places where we hurry up and get food, and a lot of times we're smashing it. And speaking of smash, what I told them actually this week was that every time you take a bite of food, and it sounds crazy, this may not be you, but I really want you to listen. You're supposed to chew 100 times per swallow. Now, I am the last person at the table, and this is before I knew there was 100 chews that took it down. That will help with the poo. So you're right. You know, if you're sitting on a toilet now or in the future, hopefully today, a couple times more today, I'm just saying it happens. Shit happens. Tell them, Lee. And what happens is that if you're straining on a toilet, 9 times out of 10, in my experiences, you're not eating properly. If you're not eating things that's going to help it smooth out. Now, let's go through that process.
You need more water.
Let's go through that process. So when you eat, and let's say, okay, you put the food through your teeth, your tongue's taste it, sends a signal, the salivary glands are like, wait a minute, hold on, what's going on here? Let's go ahead and salivate that food. It pushes it down to, you know, the esophagus, goes down to the stomach. By this time, it's pulling vitamins and minerals and carbohydrates and all those good things. 80% of that stuff is being taken and distributed through the body, okay? Once it goes through the body, and once it hits that stomach acid, that's one of the reasons why people feel we should not be carnivores, because if we all take our tongue and whip it around our mouth right now, you have basically 4 sharp teeth. Those are the things. If we were designed to eat meat, then we would have more sharp teeth, but I digress. As that food hits the stomach acid breaks it up. And then once again, it goes through goes through the kidneys and the liver and the pancreas and all these places. And once it hits the small and large intestines, it's the last place. It literally say, hey, what was not taken or what was not used, we're now going to distribute it out the body through the sphincter, the anus, whatever you want to call it, and therefore you have poop. If you're not eating properly or not chewing properly, then it makes your body have to work harder. If you're eating, like they say, the spicy food, then you're going to create the heartburn. You're going to create these things if you're not drinking the water to help with the digestion, with the kidney, the liver, the spleen. These are things that a lot of times we take advantage of. Well, we're not keeping proper maintenance of our body. So once that food pushes down, then yes. If you sit on the toilet and it's like, not saying it's the most comfortable thing to do, but you want to make it more comfortable. So it's a process, and you'll see, oh, wait a minute, I'm good to go. Once the poo lands, and if your poo is floating, you are working with extra virgin oil or grease. I know. Anyway, but the fact is that if it's floating, then you're good to go. If it's stringy or this and that, I mean, Google what poo, and you'll see what it's supposed to look like, how it's supposed to smell, how it's supposed to be, because we all know when we ate bad. And a lot of times we do have that guilt. I know I wasn't supposed to eat this, but, and like the previous caller from Pennsylvania stated, that what happens is that a lot of our foods are packed with salt when it's coming over from places such as China and this place, because it has to make the trip over. So they realize, one, salt was needed to preserve food. then when people, when they realize, and I say they, quote unquote, they realize that people actually like salt, they started adding more salt. So salt was just added to preserve. And then it also added, they said, okay, we're going to put enough in that's going to not only handle the trip, but also that they like the salt. You know, we have people, and let's be honest, it could be you, it could be someone else or someone that's listening, that when they take that, like, when they get a plate of food, whether they're at a restaurant or somebody's house or what have you, the first thing they do is take the salt and start yamming it onto the food.
Never understood that.
Huh?
Never understood that. Never understood that.
Say what now?
I've never understood that. Yeah. You haven't even tasted your food yet. How do you know that you need more salt? You've not even tasted your food yet. I've never understood that.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. You haven't tasted your food, so you. But the fact is that it doesn't matter because that person's salt level is so high, they know what they want either way. They don't have to ask anybody. They don't have to taste it. They know what they want. They know they want that. You got to remember, and I'm not this type of guy, but a lot of times food, people are foodies, and they want to see what they want to see. The food is not complete until you see salt sprinkles all saturating the food. That's just what it is. Some people won't touch, some people won't eat food if the food touch. Some people won't eat food if the food looks the same color. Some people won't look at the, eat the food because they think that the food is nasty by the way it looks. You got to remember, people are visual. When they see these things, they go like, man, I'm not eating that. Based upon how it looks, it can smell great, but they don't care because they're not going to eat it. My point is that that's what people do. Now, pepper won't hurt you. But salt, yes. Then what do they do over the last 10-plus years or so, Lee? Come on now. They start putting, quote-unquote,
sugar,
sea salt. Sugar, but sea salt,
yes.
Right?
Sea salt
is better
sugar,
for
yep.
you. Just like no different than the caller was calling in from Pennsylvania, and he was talking about stuff. And you're like, wait a minute. Well, I thought canola oil was good. Because, Lee, that's what we were shown. We were shown that we were using vegetable. We were shown we were, you know, using Crisco and lard. And then we started thinking we were uppity. So then we start using vegetable oil. And then we start using canola oil. It sounds great, don't it? I ain't taking no vegetable oil. I'm going to get some canola oil. Ooh. But they didn't tell you about GMOs. They didn't tell you about these things. So it's a forever a learning. We constantly learn about our foods. We constantly learn about our lifestyles. That's why I told you. 70% diet, 30% exercise, period. Now, some people may go 60-40. Some people may go 50-50. I got people that tell me, oh, well, coach, it won't hurt. I'm only going to have a little bit. I'm only going to do it just once. I'm only going to have this. It's okay. It's the holiday. This is what we're supposed to do. They find these fail-safes to continue to do what they want to do because of the changes that they, oh, it's too expensive. Oh, it's this. I mean, mm-hmm. I have people that they'll say, okay, I'm going to go to Planet Fitness and I'm going to get a buddy pass, which is $20 a month, and they'll complain about that, but yet have Netflix for almost $10 a month and barely use it. It's mind-blowing. It's what you want to do. It's some people will
priorities.
Go and look for the cheapest, right? They'll look for the cheapest thing possible, but then have on a pair of J's or some Steph Curry's or have these things on. It's prioritized. If it's not,
right.
If it's not for you, then some people are going to find reasons to not do it. Period. So there you go.
Hey, look, I know you got to go. We got to go. So we appreciate you for your time, sir. Family, again, this is what we do annually. We always talk to the coach before bringing in the new year. We're right in between Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, and Christmas, a couple days away. And then right be on the opposite side of that, it's the new year. So we wanted to get him on so we could talk about getting that sexy back in 2017. But not in addition to that, honestly, just making better life choices when it comes to your food and your overall health, because those things are very important. Coach, thank you so much for your time. Everyone that listened, thank you all for your time. The callers, thank you all for your time. We will definitely be with you again next week. But until then, please be safe. Be good. Peace.